This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Sharrett and Shaoning. Now, investors dumped shares of Axiata Group and Digi.my after their planned merger fell through last week, and around 9.2 billion ringgit in combined market capitalization was erased as a result. Axiata's market value, for one, has been cut to 38 billion ringgit.
Yeah, so and Digi saw about 2.3 billion ringgit, right, of its market capitalization wiped off from the market. So last Friday, Axiata and Telenor, they issued that statement to Bursa and the Oslo Stock Exchange, stating their mutual decision to end merger talks.
Yeah, this was actually, if you ask me, not that surprising, because one of the local papers actually kind of leaked the news that there was some kind of problems with regards to their non-cash deal, right?
Wasn't it the Star?
Yes, it was the Star. So I think market already kind of had the rumbles of it. So
media as well.
Yeah, so once it kind of came out, it was like, yes, it's not surprising, but, you know, the share prices really took a hit. I mean, Axiata is almost close to where it was before the announcement. Before the announcement, the share price was 404. So immediately, you know, investors started selling the stock because it was hard to see what's so good about it. What should we look forward to without these M&As, right?
Right. Indeed. It's the first one indeed as well for Malaysian telecommunication sector.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, probably, yeah, of this size. So this morning, in order to get a little bit more insight into the repercussions from the deal, we turn to Tan Jae Young, senior analyst with Hong Leong Investment Bank, for his views. Thank you for joining us, Jae Young. Now, Axiata and Telenor have called off their merger talks. Were you surprised, and why do you think that it failed?
We take this as a slight negative surprise that this proposed merger fell through at early stage. We thought they would at least have a binding agreement and fight for the case after that. This marriage was a challenging one to start with, given the risks that we have highlighted before, especially from regulatory and political perspectives. Axiata did not elaborate more during the conference call, but we understand that there were several factors related to employment as well as regulatory approvals from Malaysia and Indonesia.
And as a result, we're back to having five players in the Malaysian mobile space. Do you think that we'll see another round of price war as the players fight for market share?
Yes, competition will remain intense with five players in the market. Having said that, we do not expect an industry-wide price war. Instead, a more targeted competition, for example, in migrant segment, IDD products, home fiber, or even in fixed wireless products. Besides that, rivalry will also be focused very much on the spectrum allocation, particularly on the 700 MHz, as MCMC now intends to split it into four blocks instead of eight blocks previously.
And Jae Young, does this mean that Axiata may re-explore other merger plans? I mean, names that have been touted include TM and even Hutchison?
Yes, of course, with this failed merger, it will open other doors as well. Axiata is always on the lookout for opportunities that are synergistic as well and complementary. It has undertaken many in-country consolidations, for example, in Bangladesh and Indonesia, that have resulted in more balanced market competition as well as improving economy of scale. However, Axiata did share that or has ruled out the possibility of re-merger with TM, but instead will work even closer with TM on fiber network in order to drive convergence and 5G. With Hutch, maybe, but we do not have more details about that as we speak.
But what about Axiata's monetization plans, which may include like listings of e.co and digital business? Do you think that these are going to be accelerated now?
Yes, Axiata shared that it will re-explore the monetization plans of e.co as well as digital businesses. However, we do not think that Axiata needs to rush. Besides exploitation, it can also explore other avenues such as private equity.
And why does Digi's share price hold up better than Axiata's post-announcement of the failed merger?
We think this may be due to Digi's dividend deal, which perceived to be rather generous in this dovish market environment. I think with a consensus of 18 cents dividend per share at current market price of about 460, it still yields close to 4%.
And Jay Yang, what's your top pick in the telco sector and why?
At this juncture, we prefer the wired over with wireless players. Our top pick is actually Time. We have a buy call with target price of 10.14. We like Time as its retail is gaining momentum on the back of rich expansion and undistributable high-value products. Also, data center is expanding resiliently as IT outsourcing, cloud computing, and virtualizations are widely adopted. Global battery sales is no longer a drag and expected to perform better as demand recovers.
Thank you so much, Jay Young. And that was Tan Jay Young, Senior Analyst with Hong Leong Investment Bank. And I just took a look at the share prices from yesterday for Axiata and DG. So DG was last at 461 a share, and Axiata was actually at 420. So they did recover slightly yesterday, and they're still above their pre-listing price of, was it 404?
404, yes, for Axiata. I think markets start to see investors come back and look for bargain hunting, right? Because at the end of the day, if there is no price war and there is no intense competition, then it's almost a status quo. Because you would imagine that the worst is over for the telecommunications sector. We did see huge drops in ARPU from the days when everyone used to move from voice to data, right? The pain of that is over. Now, the question is, the big headache, I think, for all these telco companies, and it's a headache if you ask me, is your 5G costs and your implementation. I think the cost of that is something that I think the telcos are trying to work out. And the problem with that is it's going to be painful. It's going to be painful for your cash flow. And then you're also going to have to pay for it in terms of amortization and depreciation over the next 5 years, I can imagine. So, yeah, I think M&As will probably continue in this space.
Right. I mean, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned about maintaining that status quo. So, I mean, we're looking at the top four players that we have right now, Maxis. So they're holding the top spot. And U-Mobile is currently fourth within amongst the four, but they have gained that market share, and you know they were the ones who started off that price war several years ago, and they're quite happy, as you mentioned. So right now the intense competition is going to be within that middle space, isn't it, between Axiata and DG. Axiata has got big ambitions now, and you know, after DG has overtaken them, so it's interesting to now that it's not working out amongst them, how this space is going to be.
A price war?
I'm not saying that I'm expecting, but that's an interest, especially looking at Axiata also in the fixed broadband, which is fixed broadband or wired broadband, which is highly focused on right now.
Well, I hope there's a price war because it's good for us consumers.
We can't complain, right?
It is indeed.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.